Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another very pleasant afternoon here in the Auburn area. For those of you that are headed to College Station,
not so much.
Be ready. It's a hot. It's going to be hot. Not as hot as it's been in Texas. Only going to be. It's not going to be triple digits.
Only 98.
Yeah, not going to be triple digits. 97, 98,
yeah, we'll probably be 95 by the end of the game.
And you'll be down there on the field.
I've already gotten my travel sunscreen. Got me a new pair of sunglasses because mine were, I'm like, it's okay. And then I'm thinking about, okay, how much Gatorade do I need to drink the night before?
Right.
And then when I need to start drinking water the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those times. And for Auburn, I mean, like it. You know, you get used to it in the summer, and then Auburn has played nothing like that for the last month.
You're not kidding. I mean, the thing overall, I mean, it's been pretty pleasant. We had a little, you know, spiked a little bit, got back into the 90s, but I mean, your body sort of gets used to, these 80s and you know, 60s at night.
And 60s for the game in California. I mean, like, they haven't had this in a while, so it could play a factor on Saturday.
There were hot moments the day of the UMass game, but even in the stadium that day,
it was as good as you can get.
It was
better than you could ever imagine for an opener.
Yeah, so that could have an impact on a team that, you know, is having some issues from a depth perspective.
Yep.
And you know, good news is, I mean, we saw a lot of those guys back out there yesterday when we had a chance to view practice, and you know, we saw, you know, obviously Cam Stutz and some of those guys being out there. No Keontae Scott. I mean, I think it's going to be close to the end of the year if, you know, he can get back out there and get to running around after having that surgery.
An injury like that one at a position like the one Keontae plays.
Yeah,
it's not just about healing up. Then it's about
getting your burst back, all those things. Yeah, it's different than Bryce Young. Bryce Young had it playing quarterback, mm-hmm. and he can still kind of move around a little bit.
And Keontae Scott can't be
– You can't be 80, 70%.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, he can't be Keontae – he can't be anything close to Keontae Scott, I feel like, without two healthy ankles.
You know, because you hear a month, and then I'm thinking 6 to 8 weeks. I'm thinking closer to eight. My guess would be if you can get back on the field, New Mexico State – then maybe get ready for Alabama.
Yeah.
I would think it's going to be somewhere around in there. But good news is Donovan Kaufman looks like he'll be good to go.
That is really good. I mean, he played so well in the first game before he had to leave.
And he may be the best of the pass rush guys for this team. Him and Eugene Asante may be the two guys that are the best at coming off it. And that's going to be important this game. I mean, they got to get to the quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. Connor Wigman, you cannot let him just sit back. He's completing 70% of his passes.
And that's with getting pressured about every time and a half he throws the ball. He's still been that good. And so
feels like this is a pick-your-poison moment for the Auburn defense, right? Because you either have to commit extra players to the blitz and risk
and trust your secondary.
Open plays, you know, possibly, you know, explosive plays. Or you leave your secondary out there because you're only bringing three or four and you're giving Connor Wegman time.
Yeah, you have to mix it up. You can't be Joe Lee Dunn and blitz every play, but you can't sit back and say, oh, we're going to make you drive at 17 plays either. You got to do it. You're going to have to mix it up. And when you take those chances, you're going to have to get home. And so, that's job number one for that defense on Saturday. And
do you feel like it's DJ matched up with Evan Stewart most of the time, or do you think they could move it around?
No, especially if Nehemiah's back. I mean, they've got all kind of guys. Anaya Smith's over there. Got a 6'6", you know, with four touchdowns on the outside. Then you got Moose Muhammad, Messina Muhammad's son. They've got four legit wide receivers. And then you got, you know, a really talented tight end. Now this is a, you know, an extreme challenge with, you know, and then you have one of the probably the top two or three play callers in all of college football on the other side, and Bobby Petrino. I mean, that's what he does. And so This is a very, very tough matchup for this Auburn defense, and they'll have to play really well.
Best thing that one of the best things that Auburn has going for them is the fact that it's an 11 o'clock game. If you're going to play, you're going to play out there. You're going to play anywhere on the road. You'd rather go ahead and get it over with. We talked about it before the Cal game.
Absolutely. Yeah, the difference in having to sit all day versus getting going. And this team, you know, they scrimmaged at 9 o'clock in the morning when they did it, you know, on those Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And they practiced early during camp the whole time. So that shouldn't be an issue for them. Staying right out, I mean, right there on the edge of College Station, which means they don't have to get on a bus and drive an hour to get to a stadium, do those things. So that should help as well. So, just looking forward to it. Just, you know, three games in, I think we know a little bit more about Texas A&M because they've had to play at Miami. Auburn was able to win a game at Cal in very similar circumstances. But as I said earlier this week, if you flip those games and Auburn to play the way it did at Cal, it would have looked like the Miami game for Texas A&M. It would have been the same
thing. And I think the Texas A&M Miami series illustrates the importance of home field, but also how things can change from one year to the next, especially year one to year two these days in college football. Miami, in year one under Cristobal last year, went to College Station, could not score a touchdown. 9 points they finished with in a 17-9 loss. A year later, with more of Cristobal's system in place and his recruits.
And a healthy quarterback.
And a healthy quarterback who had gained a year of experience in that time.
Completely different.
Completely different. And in Miami, that game looks completely different. And
even without a home field advantage, it's still the travel and going on the road. Yeah, it's completely different. But it shows you, you look, and A&M, you know, defensively has got all these guys, but they've also given up some plays, a lot of those through the air. And you know, we just talked about Auburn's defense.
And they were really good. I mean, that was what they were really good at a year ago.
Yeah, and
was defending the pass.
Gave up a ton of plays, especially in that Miami game.
The secondary, especially if Nehemiah is healthy, and I think this would be, if you had a healthy Keontae as well, it would be without question. The secondary appears to be the one spot on the roster where you would say advantage Auburn if you're comparing these two teams right now. Quarterback is close. Wegman has played very well through the first three games. But I would say the secondary looks like the one with a healthy Keontae Scott.
Yeah, the flip side is you're comparing that to one of the top wide receiver groups in the country. So when you're comparing, you're comparing secondary to wide receiver.
I was just saying if you were to compare them to, like, you know, their counterpart on the roster, you know, Auburn secondary versus A&M secondary.
Yeah, I agree.
You're right. The matchup.
The matchup is very, very – I mean, I think it's a toss-up because it's going to depend so much on Auburn's front. And Hugh Freeze reiterated again today, got to be able to get some pressure without blitzing. You just have to.
Auburn hasn't really been able to do that thus far.
Haven't done much of it. Marcus Harris has been the one guy that's been able to get in there. We see more of Keldrick Falk. He has been so productive in his limited role. Maybe get a little bit more of him on Saturday as well.
We talked about those A&M receivers and how they match up. Auburn's receivers, it felt like on Saturday night, I mean, maybe Var went in for a punt return, so I wonder if it was a...
I think they were just kind of holding him, but once Keontae got hurt, he was number two, and I think they were like, hey, just go catch the ball. But you could see he was a little tentative.
Seemed like it was a chance to get some other guys some snaps at wide receiver, too, and gain experience.
A lot more Coy Moore.
Yes.
We saw a lot more of him.
We were watching the receivers yesterday in practice, and I came away after watching it thinking the four guys that seem like they're in the lead for playing time right now would be Javarius, Jay Fair, Coy Moore, and Shane Hooks.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. I mean, we've seen Camden Brown. Nick Mardner looked closer to full speed yesterday than he has this year. And I think if he can get out there, that's a mismatch from his size. And he's a guy that can stretch the field a little bit. Can he get involved too? I mean, I think that's another guy that you look at. We've seen a little bit of Amari Kelly. We've seen a little bit of I just went blank.
Well, I wonder if the injury has been holding Shorter back. Like that's a guy to me where, you know,
finally saw him involved a little bit last week. The big physical body, he's kind of a little bit different. He is bigger than anybody else. He got it. He looks like a linebacker.
Thicker.
So he's kind of a different body style. They've got guys. I think this is a game. We saw it a little bit more last week where you start to go, okay, who are our playmakers? How do we get on the ball? This is where it really has to ramp up.
You better know and get them the ball.
It has to ramp up. And obviously 13 is that guy. But Jay Fair has been that guy, and they've continued to target him. I think 6 is going to be more involved. So, yeah, you're right. How do you get those guys involved? We saw Shane Hooks a little bit more. And take advantage of one-on-one opportunities. This is an important game for Peyton Thorne to make those decisions. Okay, how many is in the box? If I got one-on-one shots and they're trying to take away the run, you got to throw those RPOs and you got to take advantage of those one-on-one.
Yeah, Peyton played very well this past week at home. Now it's his second road game, and you need to see. I mean, that's something that Auburn has got to have a chance to win, is Peyton has to play well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because you look at this A&M front, Auburn's offensive line a little banged up. If you're Texas A&M, no matter what you saw last week from Auburn, you still come into this game going, we got to stop the run.
Sure.
And so that means you're going to have some opportunities in the passing game for Auburn. You do that, then you can open up some things in a run game. I think this is one of those opposite games. You know, we talked about that during the Gus Malzahn era as well. A game where you felt like you need to throw to set up the run a little bit more. I think that's the case on Saturday. You need to throw the ball to them, make them respect that part of the game.
Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, 247 Sports, with us here in the studio here in hour number one, along with Bill and Dan. Drew at the controls, and let's get to the phones. And Terry is up first. Hey, Terry.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How's it going?
Good, Terry.
Good. Got Jason, I want to ask you a question. Is this the kind of game where somebody like Eugene Asante could have a great game, or any other defensive player you think of?
Yeah, I think we mentioned him and Donovan Kaufman. To me, those are the two guys that I look at. You know, they've given up a ton of pressures, A&M has. Only four sacks, because Connor Wegman's a pretty athletic guy. I think you need speed in this situation to get after a quarterback, to limit him, you know, getting outside. So that's the two guys I look at in this situation because they look like, to me, the best blitzers of the bunch. When they've been asked to do that, they've gotten home most of the time. And so I think those are the two guys I look at going, okay, the key defenders for me would be those guys. And then, you know, Jalen Simpson's been Mr. Turnover. He has a great knack at that position. Kind of reminds me of the guys that Alabama had, you know, a few years back that were undersized safeties, but they just continue to make
ball
plays.
Hugs.
They just,
yeah.
He's a guy that has that same skill set. And so, yeah, I think Asante, Donovan Kaufman would be the two guys that I think need to come up big. And
Jalen, you know, McLeod needs to be healthy and
yeah,
be able
correct.
To get there from the
correct.
Edge.
I mean, you got they know him. And so if he's healthy, then that probably will allow somebody else to get some one-on-one opportunities because they're going to probably say, hey, that's the guy that we have to take care of.
It seemed like there were multiple third downs or obvious passing situations on Saturday night where it was McLeod and Sings on opposite sides going after the quarterback. Yeah, maybe Sings benefits from extra
yeah.
attention to other guys.
And
Cam Riley got his first career sack on Saturday night. Which
finally sent him after the quarterback, and he came up with his first sack. And so – yeah, this is one where you look at it. Can you get in those third and medium, third and long situations? And when you do that, can you get, you know, Jalen McLeod, Sings, Marcus Harris, and maybe Messiah or Keldrick Falk? Can you get those four guys on the field at the same time and then have your blitz package too? Because then you got a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism. That's going to be the key. If you're sitting there allowing them to dictate tempo and have especially with Bobby Petrino, we've seen Bobby Petrino for a long time. If A&M has success running the football, then you're in real trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And because they'll set up play action passes, do those things. So
yeah, it'll be second and down, then it'll be first and 10.
Correct,
again,
and then they'll take a shot.
Long first and 10s after that. Like,
But you're right, Terry. I think Eugene Asante, you know, he's one of the most important guys in this game in terms of the blitz package especially.
Now, one more thing, Jason, I'll hang up and listen, but coming on their special, Jane, heard much about their special teams, and I got a feeling the game obviously might come down to special teams.
Yeah. The
take care, guys. Have a great day.
Appreciate it, Terry.
Brian Battee is going to have a kickoff return for a touchdown before this is over with. He is going to return one for a touchdown.
And I would have said before Keontae got hurt that Auburn's liable to have a kickoff
and a punt
return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right now,
just catch it.
Just please.
Just catch the ball and punt right now.
You think it's Simpson? Is the guy at punt return?
I think a lot of it's going to depend on this week. I think Caleb Burton is a Texas guy.
That's a guy that could be electric doing that. But
yeah, I think the issue –
Coy Moore has done it before.
He has done it. I think last week the issue was that it was an end-over-end rugby, and those contend will knuckle a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And so those balls are moving around. I think with Caleb Burton, if you get a traditional punter, that's a guy that I could see getting a shot back there. But – I would say Jalen Simpson, especially if you're talking about, say, from the minus 30 to midfield area, where you're saying, look, let's just catch the punt on our end because you're probably not going to have a ton of returns. I could see him being there, but maybe if you get somebody backed up, then maybe you put a Caleb Burton back there, a little bit more wiggle to him to get loose. But kicking game's been good. Alex McPherson's been good. You know, Oscar Chapman's been good. McPherson's been really good on kickoffs. It's a strength, and yeah, like I said, just handle the punts this week and hope you get a bunch of them.
All right, we are just underway. Jason Caldwell with us, and we'd love for you to join in. Again, 334-321-1390 is the phone number.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840. That's the Drive text box. Presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
We'll get to our first break. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
What's going on, everybody?
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell. And with Drew at the controls, Auburn, Texas A&M, 11 o'clock Saturday morning in College Station, a hot College Station it will be. Big weekend.
There are a
dozen top 25 matchups
this is about as good a weekend as you have in college football. I mean, you have some rivalry.
Especially for September.
Yeah, you have some rivalry games later in the year, yep. but a lot of times you've kind of separated it now to, you know, you have some – when you start talking about the importance of games, mm-hmm. especially kind of setting the table, when you look at especially the Pac-12, I mean, there's a ton of them out there. But the, I mean, I think the Ohio State-Notre Dame game is really fascinating game as well. Obviously, this one. And yeah, it's a fun weekend. And there, I mean, even the league.
You start thinking about all across the league.
Like Mississippi State, South Carolina, you start going, whichever team loses that one, it's done.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean – is LSU the LSU we saw now?
Is Mississippi State that bad?
Yes.
Is LSU
that good?
Or is it a little bit of both? I think it's a little bit of both.
Alabama, Ole Miss.
Daniels looked like the most dominant player in the conference in the Mississippi State game.
Yeah, and again,
that first half, he was untouchable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like 14 for 15 in the first quarter.
Correct. Yeah, and was rushing for yards.
I mean, is it Mississippi State? Is it them? Did they figure, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. Alabama, Ole Miss.
I jump to conclusions sometimes. Watching Mississippi State LSU play out, I was thinking, this is not going to work at Mississippi State. I know it's very early in the Arnett thing to say that.
If this whole year goes like this.
I know. And it's early.
Here, the difficulty, it reminds me so much of Auburn 2012, to where you start going, you can change from – you know, a pounded offense to spreading it out, you can change those things much easier than you can the other
more
direction.
Quickly, yes.
The other direction and trying to take a spread team to now go, oh, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go and run the football, be physical, and not throw it as much. Especially a quarterback who has only in his life ever played in that Mike Leach system.
Well, don't you have to run something different at Mississippi State to like neutralize the athletic advantage that you're going to face every week in the conference?
You don't have to, but you got to have the right guy.
Well, and when you've got a guy like Jason said, when you've got a guy who's done it so well,
he's not a big time athlete. He's a good quarterback in that system.
But he knows exactly what he's doing with that system. Does that apply to Alabama as well? Because that's all we heard in the offseason is going back to the old Alabama, going to be physical, pound teams into the ground. But they're not running the offense that is suited. They haven't been running the offense that is suited to them doing that. When Jalen Milroe was out there playing quarterback, they looked like they wanted him to be a drop back quarterback.
They're still running Bryce Young stuff. You know, and so, yes, can you adapt? And Nick Saban's been the best adapter.
Yep.
Can he adapt right now? And here's the problem, though. The problem is it's really hard to do that in 2023. It's really hard to play the Nick Marshall 2013 Auburn offense in this day and age. It's difficult because the rules are so much more passing friendly. But you look at Alabama and you go, because all we heard all summer is this 360-pound offensive lineman, they're going to just mash people into the ground. Well, it's not as easy to do that when you get on the field, because teams go, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to let you do that. And so do I think Alabama responds Saturday? I do. I just don't trust Ole Miss. I just don't trust them. We'll see. But I think Alabama wins that game. And, I think they'll run it better. I think you start to get him involved in the run game even
more.
They
need to.
I mean, I think that's the thing.
334-321-1390. That is the number to get you through to the drive, and let's get back to it. And Jeff is next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. Fine.
Good. Jason, question. With respect to Wegman, I've watched him a few games, especially the Miami game. He doesn't look very mobile, dude. Like, he likes to get rid of that ball very quickly. So it looks like the pass rush, as I mentioned earlier in the week, is going to be key. You know, would there be a game where young Falk could play a big factor in with his speed and youth?
I think so. I mentioned him. I actually wrote about him this week and saying, look, he's been, especially in terms of snaps, he's been the most productive player on the Auburn defensive line. I mean, he hadn't played nearly as many snaps as the other guys. I think we'll see a little bit more of him. You know, the interesting thing about Wegman is he doesn't have lost yardage, even though they've given up a ton of those pressures. He has like 68 yards rushing, so he's not a guy that. But I remember him making a few plays with his legs even last year in that windblown game that we had here. He's a guy that can run it a little bit.
Yeah, but he's
not a dynamic runner. Mm-hmm. But he's an athletic guy, and so I think that's the thing. So, yes, can you pressure him, get him on the ground? I think so. But he is a guy that every once in a while will tuck it and run. He's a big kid too. So, yeah, he's not Robbie Ashford, but he's a guy that can make you pay, especially if you start blitzing and playing man and you turn your back. Then I think he's a guy that could have a play or two. But, yeah, no, you got to get after him and here the old
Auburn would love to have him moving around rather than staying in the pocket.
That's it. That's what I was going to say. The old saying is get him off his mark. If you can get him off his mark and make him move his feet, then that's where the advantage turns to Auburn.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. He looks like someone just likes to stand back and get comfortable. I think if we could get him moving around by there, he can't find those targets. Bait him into making some errant throws, and Simpson and those crew back there might be able to pick a couple off.
Yeah, I think when you think about certain guys, like Bryce Young, to me, always felt more dangerous when he moved his feet and was kind of moving outside the pocket and made something happen. Connor Wegman, to me, is a classic stay-in-the-pocket guy. Like, much more effective throwing the ball on time and on rhythm. Most quarterbacks are. But I think you look at him and going, I think he's especially that guy where, like, if you let him 1-2-3 set his feet, scan the field, then he's going to find somebody.
A lot's changed since last year, but he had the worst game of his career last year in Jordan Hare.
It was a brutally tough quarterback day.
Auburn did a good job making him throw it before he wanted to.
Yeah, but weather had a massive impact in that game. I mean, it was a hard game to play quarterback. I mean, both guys are throwing the ball. The wind was 20, 25 miles an hour. I mean, that was not a game where I measure quarterback passing on in that game. Yeah, he was terrible that night, but it was a hard night. He's a talented guy.
Here's a number for you. Connor Wegman is completing 83% of his passes at home. You better get him moving.
Yeah.
And think about, it was a while ago, but think about what Bobby Petrino has done at places like Arkansas and Auburn and Louisville when he's had a quarterback that can that can operate for him, and he's had the capability, the weapons around him, guys who can protect him, and the quarterback he can trust. Jason, what do you say? He's one of the top three, top five in the game in your mind?
Oh, Petrino, yeah, absolutely. He's a guy that understands the flow of a game about as good as anybody. It's going to be a really interesting battle because Ron Roberts I've been extremely impressed with and what he's been able to do in the same situations in terms of understanding the flow of the game, trying to figure out, okay, what do we need to do here at this time of the game, those kind of things. It's been really good. And so, a fun matchup in a coordinator matchup on Saturday.
We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. 26 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell. Jason with us for another segment. So if you've got a question or comment, go ahead and get it in. 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which you can find wherever you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Here's a familiar name, Jason. Ken Wisenhunt, former NFL head coach, is an analyst for Alabama, has been for about 6 to 9 months.
That's a possibility then. Yeah. That could be.
Took Kurt Warner to the Super Bowl about 15 years ago.
Oh,
Steelers office coordinator for Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger's
been around and has had some pretty successful offenses.
No particular reason why we'd be talking about people.
Well, we'll wait and see. I'm with Jason. I think the Ole Miss hype and the Alabama done is gonna. That'll back off.
Yeah, I think they won. What, Freeze led them to a win in Tuscaloosa, and they've got one other win in Tuscaloosa.
Right.
That's it. They've won twice there.
All right, Jason, what is
Charlie Strong, also an analyst for Alabama? That's the defense side of the ball.
Yeah. What is the most critical position for Auburn? What area are you has to stand up
offensive
and play
line.
Well. Absolutely.
Offensive line.
And that's where it was really good to hear about, you know, both Cam Stutz and Too Tall Miller being back at practice, but I still, you know, hold my breath.
Yeah. I think Cam Stutz looked a little bit better than Too Tall did yesterday.
Well, I would have thought that too, just from – I didn't really notice Cam getting hurt in the ballgame.
Yeah,
I did.
I think
– Xavier.
Yeah, I think they were like, okay, let's, you know – we're okay. Let's don't push this thing with Cam Stutz. Kind of the same way it felt for me, like DK. I thought Donovan Coffin probably would have played had it been Texas A&M last week. They're like, oh, let's make sure we're going to keep getting him ready, stay out of contact, do all those things. And so, offensive line for me, because sooner or later you're going to have to, no matter what happens, sooner or later you're going to have to line up against a 7-8 man front and get a first down. And they struggled with that against Samford.
They really did.
And that was concerning. Now, rotated a bunch of different guys. They had some injuries, had some guys beat up last week, and so we saw Jaden Muskrat.
Does it have to be the running back getting the first down? Because there were times when
I think some of it is, hey, we got to do something different than just hand it off against an 8-man front. Quarterback, can you need, like, there was a couple of times on the goal line where I thought, okay, Peyton Thorne, if you just keep this ball, you're walking in the end zone.
Bill and I met there the two, I think before the Robbie touchdown.
Correct.
There were two handoffs in a row.
Yeah.
Where it felt like, okay, maybe he was told give no matter what.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you go, because I think it happened on the first possession. They're like, oh, we're going to throw the ball. We're just going to throw it down here, do those things. And then I think, you know, Hugh Freeze said, okay, after first down, I would have preferred to have run it. And then I think they go, okay. Then they got down there and said, well, we're going to run it no matter what, and then we're going to hand it off. Some of that last week was, okay, let's see what we've got to then determine what we need to do in these situations moving forward.
334-321-1390, and back to the phones we go, and Ed is next. Hey, Ed.
Hey, Ed.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
We're doing good.
When y'all talking about the running backs, you know, the one that I'm really excited about, that's what you just were talking just the last second. Jeremiah Cobb, I'm really excited about him getting some more touches. He's tough. Jarquez, and I even go down to Sean Jackson, I think he came out of Hoover, but he's a shorter guy, but he's strong and very good running back.
They like having the insurance of Sean Jackson. I don't know if the plan is to get to him. I thought it was telling. You mentioned Jeremiah Cobb, Ed. I thought it was telling that Auburn's first drive of the game, as soon as they got to the goal line, or as soon as they got to the red zone, two plays drawn up where Jeremiah Cobb got the ball.
Yeah, he had the second most touches because he had two or three balls that were counted as receptions, and a couple had the second most touches than anybody last week. He's going to continue to be involved.
I thought he got in on the touchdown too, personally. I thought he got in. I think you give it to him.
I think most of the team is doing pretty. We're kind of beat up and we're still thin and we're going against a team full of five stars. But I think, I'm optimistic. I always have been. But your buddy Zach Blackerby had a guest on today, and this is kind of funny. This isn't a serious question. But Mike G said that gotten like a serious kind of a, he said Texas A&M's quarterback's going to have to attack Auburn with his arm or his legs.
His knees,
I mean, and his eyes. His he's going to have to use, I mean, the whole anatomy. I think the whole body gets in there. I mean, the spleen. The whole thing's gonna need to be working for things to get there on Saturday for sure.
Yeah, but anyway, I was just calling to tell you, I wore Eagle, and I'm kind of feeling kind of. I've been sleeping a lot. Got that COVID, again. It's I don't know third, fourth time, but
golly. Well, I hope you get better, Ed.
Yeah, it's not been bad. It just makes me sleepy all the time. But anyway, War Eagle guys, and I'm looking forward to the game. Even though it's away, Auburn has struggled, in early games. So I hope being away, maybe we'll do well.
Yeah. Yeah, feel better. I'd love hearing from you. And
I Auburn, prefer I prefer being on the road.
I think it's good to play early. We talked about Ole Miss, Alabama. Where's another one where you think that in this weekend of these big games where you think that it's because I've got a perception on another one that I think people are way on the other side of because I don't trust Notre Dame. I don't care at home. I like Sam Hartman, but I still believe in Ohio State. The rest of those places, other than Notre Dame,
you're right. I mean, the game it's at Ohio State.
No, it's at Notre Dame.
Oh, it is.
Okay. It's at Notre Dame. All those things.
Ohio State a slight road favorite at Notre Dame.
So that's one. I because a lot of people go to Notre Dame. It's their time, and I'm like, well, they got to show me this. It's kind of like the same situation. I mean, obviously they're much more accomplished.
Watch them for so long, and it's hard to just go, yeah, it's changed.
Yeah, they can run a little better. They got a good secondary. That's one I look at, and I'm going, that's one where I'm like, I'm not quite on that one as much.
It's fun, I think, for a lot of folks to imagine because you've had the same teams at the top in college football. And I know Notre Dame has been successful as well, but Ohio State has been Ohio State has been one of those teams that year after year contends for the playoff. And the thought of teams like Ole Miss and even Notre Dame knocking off teams like Alabama and Ohio State and injecting more variety into the top of college football, I think that's something people are hopeful for. I am cynical, and I need to see it on the field.
Correct. Can your Bruins go to Utah and win with a true freshman?
I've been inspired by the offense I've seen so far from UCLA, even though they also were sort of juggling quarterbacks going in. This is a huge week. For what their offense can do, because Utah, I mean, if it weren't for some of the other flashy teams in the Pac-12, I think people would be talking about Utah as a playoff team right now, especially after beating a Florida team that just did that to Tennessee.
If they can get a win without Cam Rising, and they're undefeated when he comes back,
then you have to
look out. I mean, like you got Oregon and Colorado. I mean, I'd be shocked if Oregon doesn't win that game by two touchdowns where it's played. just because I think they're going to score a bunch of points.
That's going to be, though, I mean, not to divert this into a TV rating segment, but that's going to be the most watched game of the
2:30 ABC game.
Which is, even though it's on against Alabama Ole Miss, I still think based on the viewing pattern of the first three.
It'll split a little bit. Last week, I mean, it was really late, but there was nothing else to watch. And so that helped. This one will split a little bit because there's some other games. I mean, there's some 2:30 games. That UCLA-Utah's at 2:30. I mean,
there are a lot of 2:30. 2:30 is unbelievable. Loaded. There's four or five really good games.
There's some loaded games there. So, I mean, there's some fun ones. Arkansas-LSU is late. Arkansas, that's another. Here's another one where you start going.
They need to win. Uh-oh. I mean, there's some teams that, you know, we were talking about it last week with Florida-Tennessee. Florida really, really needed that one.
Yep.
Arkansas really, really needs this one. Alabama really, really needs this one. I mean, there's some teams
you don't
at
play.
Home. A&M really, really needs this.
You don't want to play LSU in a game you really need right now.
See, this is to me, and I said it last week, though. I thought this week, Texas A&M's in the same situation Florida was last week. Where you're going, could this thing be over with if you lose this one because of what's ahead on the schedule?
And what we heard last week about boosters getting money together.
Yeah, so, I mean, look at Arkansas. You got LSU this weekend. You got A&M in Arlington. So it's basically, I mean, a neutral site it is. But then you're at Ole Miss, at Alabama, Mississippi State, at Florida, Auburn, FIU, Missouri. If you're Arkansas and you have two losses before that schedule, before you have A&M at Ole Miss, at Alabama, then you're at Florida down the line.
Does Pittman have the goodwill to just absorb a bad season?
I don't know if you can.
Or does that not exist anymore?
I don't know if you can absorb. I don't know if you can absorb 4-8.
Yeah, I don't either.
And you could. I mean, you could get there.
A couple years ago, their Arkansas coach would have gotten a promotion at 4-8.
Correct. And, you know, and I think
gotten a raise.
I think they've recruited well enough to probably withstand it for a year. But the problem is, if you get run Saturday, and then you can't beat Texas A&M. Then you got Ole Miss and Alabama on the road the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
having to sell a 5-game losing streak would be tough.
Let's get another phone call in before Jason has to run. And James is up next. Hey, James.
Hey guys, I wanted to touch on a few things. I completely agree with Jake Crane about the pressure on Texas A&M. And I talked to an A&M friend of mine last night, and now, he says these are just rumors, so take them for what they're worth. But he believes that Petrino's trying to make himself look better in this situation because they are not confident about this game Saturday at all. And the pressure's all on them. And they feel like Auburn's a very dangerous team.
I think there is definitely more pressure on A&M than there is Auburn. I mean, the expectations for Auburn were, you know, negligible. I mean, compared to the expectations for Texas A&M, and making the move to Bobby Petrino added some of that pressure.
Think back to when Gus was the coach at Auburn, like losing to a first year coach when Gus was 5, 6, 7 years in, and what those losses did to the fan base and how they shook the confidence of people. I think there's something similar to what if Hugh Freeze in year one goes to College Station and beats Jimbo Fisher in year six, you wonder, well, where's this thing trending moving forward?
Here's what you do right now, and I agree, the pressure's on A&M. I think it's because if you look at these rosters, they're not comparable. They're not comparable rosters. A&M's roster is a top 7 or 8 roster in the country in terms of talent.
And that's not just the starting 22.
Yeah. If you look at that and compare it to Auburn's roster, hey, I've said it before, this coaching staff did a great job of taking a roster that was not going to compete to now getting them to where they can compete, but there's still not a roster that can go head-to-head without – like if you're Auburn, you can't afford mistakes. Like, you can't afford to overcome mistakes. It almost cost you at Cal. It almost cost you the game.
Right.
You can't afford mistakes to have a chance to win these games, in my opinion, because there's still a sizable talent gap difference. That's where you're at if you're Jimbo Fisher right now going, look, other than Alabama – LSU, you're still more talented than LSU, but that's when you look at they're playing better football. You're going to have a better roster than everybody else, and if you go out there and lose 6, 7 games, 8 games again, then guys are going, okay, then it's you. It's not recruiting. It's not facilities. It is you, and that's where the pressure comes in.
Hey, if y'all didn't catch that podcast with Auburn Undercover with Ronnie Sanders and Nathan King and Paul Feinbaum, that was a good one last night. Paul laid some very interesting facts down the table last night that I don't think a lot of people know what's going on over there at Alabama. And that was really interesting. So if y'all want to hear that, y'all go find that because that was an interesting conversation. So,
thanks for the plug. It was good. Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Great call, Jay. Appreciate it. Jason, I know you got to head out. When are you guys heading?
Friday afternoon. Head out, get there Friday evening, and then obviously try to find a little something to eat, get into bed, and get ready for an early start on Saturday morning. We'll have about an hour or so drive into College Station on Saturday morning. So
we're only about 20 minutes.
So it's not bad at all. I've kind of done kind of the same spot, the same back roads every year, and it's kind of nice to drive through the farmlands.
I found a place that we hadn't seen before that just seems like cool. It's a little B&B at a winery. So.
So do that and then get ready for at least this is an early day. And, you know, it's going to be warm there no matter what.
If this
game was at 6 o'clock, it'd be hot. And so just looking forward to it. And seeing what happens.
Yeah, we'll find out a lot more.
Yeah, a whole lot more answers, and I'm sure there'll be a whole lot more questions, too, see if they can find enough to get a W on Saturday.
All right, Jason, have a good trip out there. Probably see you out
there. Yeah, see you out there.
All right, Jason, we appreciate him joining us. We've got one more segment here in hour number one. Love for you to join in here on the Wednesday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final few minutes of hour number one. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell for stopping in. And, great stuff you find from Jason and everybody there at 24/7 Sports, Auburn Undercover, AUTigers.com. I mean, you can go find it many different ways.
Yeah, I think this is a game, and we've been talking about it. This is the second time Auburn's gone on the road this year. The first time Auburn went on the road, they played Cal. And there was a belief that Auburn had an advantage, roster versus roster.
Mm-hmm.
And even the starting lineup versus starting lineup, you could question Auburn's depth because they've had such roster turnover these last couple of years. The point Jason was making in the previous segment is this is a different animal. Auburn's a touchdown underdog for a reason because they're going on, not only are they going on the road but they're also playing a team that, you know, most folks would tell you roster for roster, top. And especially when you start getting into how proven are the second stringers, how proven are the third stringers, things like that. That's where A&M would have an advantage at a couple of key spots.
Yes.
Offensive and defensive line, the front seven. I mean, Auburn's front seven is vitally important because Bobby Petrino is going to attack you up the middle and see what you've got. And it's not just in 98-degree weather against Texas A&M, it's not just your front seven, the starting seven.
You're gonna have to have, you know, depth that can go in there and keep the guys from just completely wearing out.
And Auburn's ability to make plays through the air and Auburn's ability to stop A&M's run are the two things I'm concerned about as far as what this game could look like from Auburn's side.
Let's get to Yellowhammer before we run out of time here in hour number one. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. So I'm concerned about this, that given the injuries on defense. And I'm Bobby Petrino. I'm going to try to pass you crazy because I want to turn it into a point scoring thing and make Auburn keep up with me. And I don't think
I think you get into a shootout, Auburn's in trouble.
Uh-huh. Well, I think don't you think he might think in those terms?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Bobby Petrino is going to score as fast as he can.
I mean, some of that depends on what kind of success Auburn's offense is having, because I think if A&M gets the sense that they can score, they can move the ball, and Auburn's offense is going to have a hard time, maybe A&M decides they're, you know, I think the approach, how the other team's offense is succeeding might influence the approach somewhat. But no, Bobby Petrino's got a track record. Like, you know what you're getting from a talented Petrino team because there are decades of film on Bobby Petrino as an offensive coordinator and head coach leading teams like this one.
One other thing, do you suppose in the background, sneaking around kind of, that they're kind of they got Petrino in there because they're going to ease out Jimbo.
I don't think that was the plan.
That's not going on. Okay.
No.
All right. Thanks.
I think Jimbo needed to find the best offensive mind he could to get results.
That was the best available one.
And the best available one was Bobby Petrino. And I don't think there's a version of this where Petrino's the head coach and Jimbo's out because the team's not succeeding. I think there's a version of this where they're both out.
Yeah, things don't work well, then they're both gone.
And maybe if Jimbo, if he were let go during the season, maybe they'd look at Petrino as an interim option.
If they lose a bunch of games 48-33, maybe they would.
Yeah, maybe they would, and Petrino would have a chance, but I don't know if he'd have a real chance to earn the job on a permanent basis because they have...
Let's find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Let's have Auburn put up 40-plus and win. That would make for an interesting
game. That would make things tougher on DJ Durkin.
Yeah, you think? Yeah, I think so. Hey, we're out of time for hour number one. The Tiger Takes with Eugene Asante. We'll tell you about that and more in hour number two.
Production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Yes, it's our regular crew. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell, spending most of hour number one with us. Hope you had a chance to hear that. If you missed any of JC, then we encourage you to check out our podcasts.
Podcast of The Drive, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast tab. Podcasts of The Drive, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Hour number two of The Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about, Auburn's game at Texas A&M this Saturday, as we were saying in the first hour, Dan, I mean, a lot of really interesting matchups this week. I believe it's six. I think it's a half dozen top 25 matchups. Some interesting matchups in the SEC that aren't matchups of top 25 teams, but nonetheless are really interesting from the top to perhaps the bottom. As I agree with what Jason was saying, the loser of the Mississippi State South Carolina game gonna have a tough time salvaging a respectable season.
I think it's an early setback for and it would be, I think, more damaging for Shane Beamer.
I agree.
Because there were high hopes for this year.
There were some people thought that they might be the second best team in the East.
And you know what? They still could be if they string things together and win some of these games down the stretch. They still might be the second best. I mean they're the ones who have played Georgia.
They played them well.
Right, so I think
that was in Athens.
Like a win for South Carolina, and you're saying, you know what? Yeah, North Carolina looks pretty good. We lost that out of conference game. Georgia might be the best team in the country. We lost that one. The rest of these games feel winnable.
What do you think about that one? Mississippi State has disappointed me more than South Carolina. I wasn't shocked that they lost to North Carolina. I sure wasn't shocked that they lost to Georgia by 10.
I thought LSU at home would be a spot for Mississippi State to like put up a fight.
Yeah.
And I was stunned. I was stunned by how much better LSU was from the moment that game started.
I was stunned by how inept the Mississippi State offense was. Will Rogers looked like he didn't have any experience playing
quarterback. I kind of thought that he might transfer out to another offense when Mike Leach passed away. I think it's admirable that he's sticking around.
It is. Good for him.
And finishing his career at Mississippi State.
Hail
and,
State.
And he will finish near the top of the SEC records in different categories as a quarterback.
It doesn't look like he's going to finish nearly as the numbers aren't going to stack up as much more as we thought heading into the year.
No, it's an interesting adjustment they've made. And Jason made the comparison between going from the Gus Malzahn offense under Gene Chizik to the Loeffler experiment mm-hmm. in 2012, and that is at the moment what it looks like for State. I don't have a ton of confidence in them moving forward in the SEC right now. I just think this is going to be a really challenging year.
I had them pegged at the bottom of the SEC West, and nothing they have done has changed my mind.
Right, and I don't know how many of their games moving forward I'm going to be picking them in this season, including South Carolina.
Now, LSU, you mentioned, LSU, very impressive this past week. And we talked about it a little in the first hour. Arkansas fans getting a little uncomfortable. They were so excited, and you just love Sam Pittman anyway. I mean, he is such a great guy.
I didn't have
but them. That's not going to carry you too many years.
I didn't have them losing to BYU. I thought they had it together to a degree where that's not the kind of loss they had to worry about.
40.
Yeah, and that's,
BYU's pretty good.
And we love Travis. That was a tough showing for the Arkansas defense.
It was.
And his first big test.
And they didn't have Rocket.
DC. Did not have Rocket Sanders, which played some role in it.
How are they going to hold LSU down?
I don't know. I mean, LSU's that game's in Fayetteville, right?
Yes, it is.
And LSU is a
that's another
17?
One of those. I said, you know, that there are a few of those teams that have struggled more than their fan base would expect, playing at home and really, really needing a win, like Florida did last week. That's where I mentioned, you know, you've got LSU, you've got South Carolina fans aren't. It's not like.
Oh, that'd be a bad loss at home.
I guess you could put that one in there. Alabama, South Carolina, Arkansas, Texas A&M, all this week.
Yeah. I think Arkansas.
Any of those that lose, their fan bases are going to be howling.
If I were an Arkansas fan, I would tell myself it depends on how we look against LSU.
Right,
because this is
a very talented
LSU's the better team. Arkansas, I don't know how many times Arkansas as an SEC team has had the better team than LSU.
No, but they have played them.
They have played them
wildly off their feet.
Incredibly close,
and they've won
more than their share.
Yes, they have.
Remember, this game used to be played later in the year.
It did.
Like this used to be. Yeah, this used to be a November game.
It'd be cooler weather when we're watching multiple overtimes.
But now we're getting Arkansas LSU in September, and yeah, I think
you got Auburn Georgia next week.
If it plays out,
that time of year,
if it plays out like LSU Mississippi State did. I do think Arkansas people would be saying, "Is Sam Pitt like it's more than just oh that's a tough loss to a good LSU
Who's
team."
Who's their defense? Yeah, Travis is their defensive coordinator. Who's the new offensive coordinator?
Didn't they go to Enos? Right? Wasn't
yeah
it
they
that?
Did yeah. Dan Enos? Is
yeah,
the,
I mean it's because Kendall Briles is a head coach now, right? Didn't Kendall Briles go to?
Did he? I just knew Arkansas had changed both coordinators, replaced both coordinators. Maybe
I should know off the top of my head what
Kevin
Brown's
did. Yeah, I should
did.
Too. But yes, I mean when you change both coordinators and neither side.
Browse went to TCU.
Yeah, neither side looks better. Yeah.
No, you're right. I mean that's another one where especially when you bring back a quarterback like KJ and a running back like Rocket Sanders. To be thinking. It's not going to happen this year, and next year you're replacing them both. Like that's a tough spot to be in, and that's where Arkansas could be.
Oh, that's right.
If they're not they're not competitive against LSU, then it's like we're clearly a tier or two behind the top teams in the division, and that's with a star quarterback and a star running back that aren't going to be here next year.
That year before last, Arkansas fans thought that they were this might be the year. Yeah. You know, that they were getting closer. They took a step back last year and looked like a, you know, could be taking or staying at least in place, if not taking another step back.
And I like Sam Pittman, I think.
Oh, you can't help but like Sam.
It's a different industry now. And, yeah, you're right. I don't know. You know, and this is where you get into Dion and Hugh Freeze and guys who have remade things in a year at places. And they've injected mm-hmm. a lot of talent into a roster. I think that's made it.
Seemingly what he did.
It's Remember? Seemingly what he did, yeah. It helped. Now even Sam Pittman is pre like true transfer portal.
Oh yes,
era.
Absolutely.
He found
it wasn't turning the roster completely over.
Yeah,
like,
and he got
like
a jump start.
Now.
He got a jump start early because they got Felipe Franks. Or part of the reason why was because they landed a veteran quarterback because it was remarkable how from the end of Bielema and the entirety of Chad Morris. Like, they had nothing at quarterback that you wanted. It was just year after year where it was incredible. And then and then Sam Pittman, I mean, really they've had production at that position since Sam Pittman arrived for one reason or another. And if KJ Jefferson, you know, if that streak ends after KJ, yeah, I just don't know what the future looks like. Could be a lot of folks waiting for basketball season.
Oh,
in Fayetteville.
You're right. I mean, and I think a lot of fans may feel like, well, you can just do like Alabama, and you're always going to have that next one. It doesn't usually work that way anywhere, and we're still waiting to see, you know, what the quarterback situation is going to be like. Wind up at Alabama with Milroe back as the quarterback. I think he's their best option, but is he good enough to have them competing for a playoff spot?
It's irresponsible speculation on my part, Bill. But like, remember when Auburn missed out on that basketball player that went to Kansas about a month? It was about a month ago, the five star. And we were saying, well, maybe when you're talking about the top basketball players, it's going to be tough for a place that is also signing football stars to match the NIL offer of a Kansas or a Duke or a UNC, traditional basketball superpowers.
Ones that can focus it all on that sport.
I'll tell you what, if things start to go south for the Arkansas football team, Arkansas might think about adding themselves to that list, where it's like, you know what, we're a basketball superpower, and NIL resources go to the basketball program, and whoever's coaching football needs to find a way to survive amid that situation. But it's...
Oh, I don't know that their fan base is going to take to that very quickly.
Well, I mean, it's been a decade since they've been to the SEC championship game.
I know it has, but still, it's tough when you feel like, okay, we're going to contend, and we can contend, and they had a couple of 10, 11-win seasons that they, you know, everybody feels like, well, we're going to get back. We need to be back there or else.
Doesn't it feel like, especially when Texas and Oklahoma get here, doesn't it feel like their path to the top of the conference is as difficult? I mean, that's a... To turn that around and suddenly be like, yeah, we're going to win consistently in the SEC in football at Arkansas. Like, if Sam...
Oh, it makes it much more difficult.
Yeah, good luck to whoever. If it's not Sam Pittman, whoever else, you know, they better... I hope they're paid handsomely because they will be. It's an incredibly difficult job. And it's to win enough to keep folks happy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be... Good luck with all that.
334-321-1390. We'd love your thoughts on any of the ball games this weekend. Obviously, Auburn, Texas, A&M, what are you the most concerned with? What do you feel the most confident about? 334-321-1390, and we'll get to our first break here of hour number two. Come on in and join us.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. Give us your thoughts. Hey, we mentioned this early, and we'll get to it here in just a little while, but I mentioned we have Tiger Takes coming up at the bottom of the hour, and with Keontae Scott with the unfortunate injury and then the surgery, wanted to give Keontae the opportunity to rehab in peace and to recover. I mean, he just had the surgery a couple of days ago. Jacob has rounded up Eugene Asante.
Yeah, very cool that we've got Eugene Asante stepping in. All the best to Keontae.
Oh, absolutely.
We were excited to talk to Keontae all year.
We wish a speedy recovery because Auburn really, really, will miss him.
Yeah, and I hope Keontae's back on the field and back doing Tiger Takes again before the end of the season. But in the meantime, what a substitution that we've been able to make here. With Eugene Asante filling in for the next couple of weeks at least, because he is it's such a cool story.
Oh, he's come from, you know, not being a factor last year, not seeing him on the field last year, to being Auburn's leading tackler going into Texas A&M.
And not just leading tackler, but really more of the outsized leader that, mm-hmm. you know, when you think about last season, when you Auburn had players like Derek Hall and Colby Wooden and Owen Papo, how long had those three been around? Specifically,
yeah, they'd been around 4 years.
Derek and Owen and Colby were guys who had been not just 4 year senior
starters. They'd be guys that had been contributors, if not starters, for the entire four years.
Right, and I asked Marcus Harris this question, or no, you know what? I asked Jason Jones this question, and he named Marcus Harris. During we had player opportunities in the offseason, you know, I said, who has stepped in and filled that void? You know, who has become sort of a leader on this defense with Owen and Colby and Derek gone? And Marcus Harris was the first name that Jason mentioned. Mm-hmm. But I really think, you know, if we ask that question of guys now, Eugene Asante would be one of the names that gets mentioned. I mean, this is a guy who... I mean, he's sort of become a heart and soul piece of this defense over the last few months.
And you heard, I mean, Jason was talking about him in hour number one as he's one of the guys that when he has come after the quarterback, he's been able to get through there. He and Donovan Kaufman, and he was, you know, as we headed into the opening game, he wasn't an assured starter going into the opening game.
Who, Eugene?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't. Let's go further back than that.
I had him.
Where was he on the Bill Cameron depth chart when fall camp started?
I had him number three.
When fall camp started?
Yes. I had him number three once we'd been out and watched a practice or two.
Sure. I mean, you looked and you thought.
Because it looked like, you know.
Steiner?
Austin Keys and Cam Riley may be the top guys, and then you
Steiner
had,
and Nixon.
Yes.
Steiner and Nixon would have been your backup linebackers there. You know, those two would have been, I think that's right.
And
as far
Robert
as
Robert Woodyard, remember, got a little buzz early in camp. So it was like, well, maybe Eugene and Woodyard were like looking number three then. But he got the opportunity, and he has really grabbed that opportunity.
Felt like it was leading up to and then after that first scrimmage. Right, where maybe it was when they finally started to get
once they went into pads.
Yeah, once contact started, they realized, ooh, Eugene Asante hits, and they've there
well,
been
everybody always knew he could run,
and there are a couple other players who have been shouted out, and you've seen them a lot the first 3 weeks. The McLeod and the way he runs through every play, Steven Sings, and the way he runs through every play was cited as another reason why, and not too shocking that we've seen a lot of those two guys, but no, it's going to be. Really cool to talk to hear from Eugene Asante every Wednesday as part of Tiger Talks, and yeah, can't be more happy about the way he started this season.
Yeah, and remember, it has to be pre-taped because Auburn practices every weekday afternoon while we're on the air.
Yeah, we tried to go out there with our equipment during practice the first
Hugh
week.
Wasn't thrilled about let's just pull Keontae off to the side while you're preparing.
We told him we were taping Running with Reed. And they let us go for a little while, but then they realized what was going on. No, we keep nudging Jason during the viewing window on Tuesday to go like record something with Luke Deal, like mid drill, you know, as part of, because Jason and Luke Deal are recording. I don't know if Jason got had too much time to promote.
No, he didn't mention The Real Deal.
But yeah, The Real Deal is a podcast that our hour one guest Jason Caldwell does with Auburn captain and tight end Luke Deal, and yeah, they've. It's been fun to see because occasionally they'll share a word or two. As I imagine, you host a podcast with someone, then you go out there and you watch them at football practice. You know, there could be a little bit of recognition. So but we are going to have a pre-taped interview because we cannot be out there while the team is practicing, recording an interview.
Yeah. Now you were out there yesterday.
I was.
And good reports on the injured players.
Yeah. It sounds like the injury to Donovan Kaufman would be the one where like that's a Donovan Kaufman is a Jason thought Donovan could go last week, you know, potentially if it had been a bigger game, maybe they wanted to.
I would not have been surprised if last week, if Auburn were at A&M last week, I wouldn't have been shocked to see either Donovan Kaufman or Nehemiah Pritchett.
Yeah, so I think the secondary, you know, they feel good. They had the guys participating on Tuesday, and so the thinking is that these could be contributors on Saturday.
They need them to be
against A&M. Offensive line, yeah, you had good reports from. I mean, it seemed like Miller and and Cam Stutz were both.
Although Tuttle apparently wasn't running with the ones,
right? And which makes me wonder. I mean, I wonder if what I mean. I don't know.
You better be ready. Yeah. The thing is, if he's anywhere, you know, if he's 75% or something like that, you'd better be really building the chemistry for the possibility of him not being in.
And isn't this where you might lean on Gunnar Britton's experience as a college football player and say,
yeah,
you've played,
I think so.
You've played on the road a ton in your career at Western Kentucky. You faced hostile environments. Maybe with Tuttle a little bit banged up, maybe they go with Gunnar Britton at tackle and Dylan Wade. I don't know if they – look, player versus player. Like, I don't know what the advantages are of Gunnar Britton at tackle versus a healthy Tuttle Miller.
I think Izavian is a little more athletic and has a little longer reach. So, I mean, those are kinds of things that you just feel projecting. It looks like his ceiling could perhaps be a little higher as a tackle.
Right. But maybe right now, Gunnar Britton provides – whatever Gunnar Britton provides, maybe they decide to go with that.
He's definitely more experienced and has been there, so –
And there's also there's also the question of Tuttle's injury from the game. So
how close is he to 100%? Because you don't want to put somebody out there that is so injured enough to the point where they can't perform and do the things that you've got them out there.
Yeah,
for.
And Coy Moore isn't an injury from Saturday, but he's somebody who was an injured player for much of the offseason. We didn't see him, and I don't think he participated in either scrimmage. He was
out there this spring? Seems like Coy was banged up this spring.
Yeah, I see. I seem to recall Coy being out there for the, but maybe not. Maybe
I don't know that he was out there for the A-Day game though.
Yeah,
I think he gotten banged up before then.
But Coy Moore's made a push for playing time, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a lot of Coy Moore on Saturday at receiver. Seemed like he was in the glimpses in the. Again, they had receivers paired up.
He's a guy doing different combinations. He's a guy when healthy can make. He's a guy that can stretch the field. He can make some plays downfield.
Took a shot to him against Samford. That ball was intercepted in the end zone, but I don't know if it was necessarily
his fault.
Yeah, it wasn't anything Coy Moore did, and I think if anything, the fact that Peyton Thorne feels confident launching a deep ball in Coy Moore's direction suggests that maybe we're going to see more. And I thought there was – it felt like you were seeing a little bit more of those first four, more hooks – Johnson and Jay Fair than everyone else in the glimpses we had of practice yesterday.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Did you get a chance to get in on the teleconference today?
Listen to some of it. Yeah, I mean nothing too groundbreaking from Coach Freeze.
Did you hear Jimbo?
I did not hear Jimbo.
I was tied up doing some other things today. I absolutely had no way that I could be listening in there. And I would have, I think Jimbo, from what I read, I didn't get to hear it, Jimbo credited Hugh Freeze for his ability in the transfer portal, but it almost sounded like he went, some guys recruit, some guys do it in the transfer portal, and he did it in the transfer portal. Almost sounded like Jimbo's going, well, Hugh didn't recruit him, he just got him in the transfer portal. Give him a little while.
Well, okay, well, that's... I mean,
it wasn't like Lane. Now that I'm not saying that Jimbo had bulletin board material, but I mean, sort of a compliment. I mean, a compliment for doing a very good job in the transfer portal,
and maybe
which he indeed did.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe for some reason Jimbo Fisher wants to differentiate between recruiting players out of high school and recruiting players via the transfer portal. But
yeah, I'm surprised. I guess Jimbo didn't want to get into how big their NIL is and their buying.
Yeah, you assemble. Yeah, I don't think Jimbo Fisher wants that to be any part of his press conferences right now. So I think it is a clash of styles. But part of that is because Hugh Freeze is in year one. Like I don't think Hugh Freeze's plan.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the plan is for this much of the roster to have started their college football careers elsewhere. But the roster that Hugh Freeze inherited in December was one that needed an injection of veteran talent, and that's exactly what he's gone out and he's done. And we'll see if he's injected enough to keep up with an A&M team that added another. You know, they got healthier. Uh, they made some coaching changes, and they added some more really talented players in the offseason from the team that disappointed last year.
Yeah, so Auburn, it's still about a touchdown underdog.
Yeah, right? But I think at some places it's gone to...
it may have gone up to 8.
I was going to say it's gone a little bit closer to 8. At some places, 7.5. I think if you shop around, you can still find it at 7. But that seems to be about where... And the what's the over-under? I think the total is...
52?
Yeah,
maybe?
I was going to say it's in the 52 to 51 range, depending on where you're looking, 51.5. But
I think if it's there or over, that's probably not good for Auburn.
ESPN's got game time weather at 81 degrees, by the way.
81?
Now...
Are they talking kickoff, maybe? Still, it seems like if the high is going to be in the upper 90s, it'll be more than 81 degrees at 11 o'clock.
I'm going to check Apple
on
this.
Yeah, really. It's maybe 81 here. Maybe game time, the temperature at kickoff in Auburn Saturday may be 81. But I don't think it's going to be that in College Station.
All right, at 11 a.m.?
Uh-huh.
Apple says that at 11 a.m. it's going to be 85 degrees.
Oh. That's not terrible.
At College Station. This is not the real feel. This is just the temperature. And then it's gonna get up to 95 at around 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So
we'll be out of there before it's in the mid-90s.
Yeah,
all right.
Mid-80s and rising, I would say, would be the temperature at kickoff at the moment, although there is the chance that it could get much hotter than that throughout the day.
Well, it's been much hotter than that out there for a while. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break on the other side. Jacob Goins interview with Eugene Asante, Tiger Takes, here on the Wednesday Drive, coming up.
And 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday, and it's time now for our weekly Tiger Take segment brought to you by the Osterbrook Law Group. When you need legal assistance, call Zach. He's got your back. Or find him on the web at alsolaw.com. Earlier today, our colleague Jacob Goins visited with Auburn linebacker Eugene Asante.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader, back for Tiger Takes, our weekly segment with the Auburn football player, and pleased to be joined by Auburn standout linebacker Eugene Asante. He is going to be joining me for the foreseeable future here on ESPN 106.7. To start out, we wish all the best to Keontae Scott, who had surgery earlier this week. We wish him a speedy and healthy recovery on his leg injury, and then hope to see him back on the field very, very soon. But Eugene, excited to talk to you, man. I'm really, really looking forward to this, and I know the Auburn fans are excited to hear from you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on the show. I appreciate the opportunity to come on and give you perspective and, you know, just talk to you. So I thank you for that opportunity.
Well, before we start talking about what's coming up with Texas A&M, Auburn opening up with SEC play this weekend, I want to get your thoughts on the season up to this point. You guys are 3-0. You've got the win out at Cal. You've got a couple of impressive wins over some smaller opponents with UMass and with Samford. And so 3-0 to this point in the season. What's it been like for you to get off to this nice start in 2023?
It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing just having a new staff come in and just trying to appeal to our hearts and just implement a new culture, you know, implement the culture that a winning culture. And that's the biggest thing. And I think it's been a great start. You know, we coming in, you know, playing UMass, being able to get our feet wet and going out to Cal in a hostile environment, uncharted territories in the West Coast. I think it was a great thing to, you know, go through a little bit of adversity over there and see what we can do fundamentally and, you know, find the foundation of our team, you know, just building that foundation. And then, you know, this past week with Samford, you know, just being able to go out there and show what we can do in terms of our defense, speaking defensively. But it's been a great thing, and I'm just excited for the rest of the season.
Well, man, that Cal game was something else. That's one of the best performances I've seen from an individual defensive player in a long, long time. You ended up getting co-defensive player of the week in the Southeastern Conference. You talked about that a little bit with the media, but what did that mean to you and just that game itself, man? You were just all over the place. You couldn't be stopped out there in Cal.
It meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to my family. In terms of the adversity I've faced and a lot of things I got when I first got here, it meant a lot to be able to go out there and showcase what I can do. I'm grateful to the coaches putting me in positions to make those plays. And, you know, when I feel like when I'm in position to make those plays, I have to go make those plays. So I put a lot on myself, and it was a great game and a great outing, and I'm just grateful to guys that I got that opportunity.
What's it been like for you and all the guys in the linebacker room? It seems like there's a lot of talent there, but maybe some unknown names and unknown talent in that room with a very, very high potential. I know some injuries have kind of held you guys back just a little bit, but what's the relationship like there in that linebacker room as you get off to a 3-0 start?
Yeah, it's a great relationship. We got guys in the room that are really bought in. You know, we got unconditional love within the room, you know. Regardless of who's starting or who's playing, or, you know, we got a lot of guys that, you know, just genuinely support each other, you know, and it shows. You know, you got to be able to love your brother, but we're also competing at the end of the day. So it helps us even go harder, you know, in terms of the way we prepare, the way we get ready for games. So, you know, whether it's from Larry, whether it's from Cam, whether it's from Wesley, you know, we all love each other and want to uplift each other and just build that foundation where, you know, we love each other. We also compete and try to be the best possible versions of ourselves. So it elevates everybody's play.
Auburn linebacker Eugene Asante joining us here on ESPN 106.7. What has the defensive process looked like and the defensive planning looked like for you in this entire staff? Because you guys have been performing extremely well, some of the best numbers so far in the SEC as you start SEC play. So what's been the mindset and the game plan for the defense for Auburn this season?
Yeah, I think the mindset is just to establish our will upon our opponent, to show what we can do fundamentally. Just being able to play hat in hands, getting our hat in hands on people, and playing violent style of football, you know, being fast and physical, and just being able to communicate and play efficiently. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that we want to establish ourselves as a defense, and that's the foundation that we continue to grow upon. And, we're just real grateful to Coach Roberts and the staff that they every day they impart a growth mindset to us. You know, we want to be a really good defense, and that's some people's end game. That's the end goal. But every day with them, they try to emphasize being, you know, growth mindset and just improving that day, getting 1% better that day. So that's what we're continuing to try to do. And I see a lot of guys that bought into it. So it's a really great time.
So far this season, Eugene, you have 19 total tackles. You lead the defense with those 19 tackles, 13 of those solo. You've got 2 sacks as well. Is that something that you strive for, to be the leading tackler and to try to make every single play, or is that just sort of how it's worked out so far?
Truthfully, nah. I don't think I strive to be the leading tackler or be there. You know, I know that there's going to be situations in the game that I will be in one-on-one situations that I have to make those plays, but I don't think it was something that I strive to be the leading tackler. I do think one of my goals and one of my aspirations is to be relentlessly going to the football. You know, just relentless in my pursuit to the football and my effort. You know, that's something I emphasize with my effort. So I think the biggest thing for me is doing those things, and that's a byproduct of being able to get a lot of tackles. So. I think the effort piece is important to me, and I emphasize that daily and constantly, but I think tackles are just a byproduct of it.
And I know, yeah, I mentioned it at the beginning, the fact that this defense is dealing with some injuries on that side of the football. Keontae Scott, of course, going to be out for the foreseeable future. We've yet to see Nehemiah Pritchett play. Some word that Larry Nixon has gotten banged up as well. And so we know Donovan Kaufman is kind of in there as well. And so how do you guys prepare and just move forward each and every week, knowing that you may not have everybody ready to go, and if you get some guys in there, they may not be 100%.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that next man up mentality. You know, we got a lot of young guys that are super talented as well, super talented in terms of things they can do on the field, you know, just their ability and stuff. I think the biggest thing is just getting those young guys ready, bringing them along, and, you know, basically, you know, we always tell the young guys, you know, we're going to need to rely on you at some point in the year. And some guys take it and they believe it, and some guys are like, nah, these guys are actually just joking with us. So I think the biggest thing was just, you know, emphasizing to them that we do really need them to prepare and to get ready like they're going to go out there and play. So, you know, that's the biggest thing. I think in terms of the guys that are banged up, we have to just continue to pray that they get back to 100% and can go out there and play the way that they've been playing, you know.
And then the game against Samford this past weekend, as we start to move into looking at some of the games in particular, 45-13, you guys give up just those 13 points. Coming off of a really, really impressive performance against Cal, you back it up again against Samford. And through three games, Eugene, you guys have only given up, the most you've given up is 14 points in a football game, so you got to be able to hang your hat on that. But what did you like about the defensive performance overall in this game past Saturday against Samford?
I just like how, you know, guys were adjusting to the things that Samford was doing. They were doing a different style of offense, you know, lining up sugar huddle style and just, you know, breaking out the huddle quick and snapping the ball. So I think the biggest thing was, I think the guys got adjusted really well. I think we adjust after the first drive, we were able to adjust to what they were doing and being able to make all our checks within a short span of time and just processing, you know, the psychological part of playing football. I think guys really adjusted well. So I think that was a big thing, and I think that was something we really needed to enhance our mental process and understand the defense even more. So I think that was the biggest thing, and then just playing hard. And you know, the DBs played well. J.D. Rim, you know, caught an interception.
Mm-hmm.
He's back off the injury now. So that was a big thing for him, you know, getting back off the injury and being in situations to make those plays. And, you know, Jalen Simpson, he makes plays every time we play. So I think that was a big thing, just seeing the DBs flourish.
Yeah, that's something you guys have been really, really good at so far this season, Eugene, is forcing those turnovers, getting interceptions. I think you have multiple through the first three games in each one. Like, that's really, really impressive. And, man, if you guys can somehow find a way to continue to do that in SEC play, you're going to give this offense a really good chance to win football games.
Yeah, I believe that, too. I think it's just going out there and defensively handling our business and putting the offense in best situations to make plays, you know, whether it's forced fumbles, whether it's interceptions, whether it's sacks, strip sacks, all those types of things really do enhance our chances of winning the football game. You know, so I think it's a good thing that our defense is clicking right now. We just got to continue to grow upon it and, you know, not get complacent and just, you know, continue to have a growth mindset and build upon it every single day.
As you look forward for Auburn opening up SEC play this weekend at Texas A&M at 11 a.m. on Saturday there in College Station, how does the mindset change for you personally and then for this entire team as the level of competition is going to take a major step up when you start playing Texas A&M on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't think the mindset changes at all. I think it's just another opponent. I think we just come in and we prepare how we've been preparing, you know, and just, you know, taking it one day at a time, you know, literally building upon what we have set, the foundation that we've set, and just going into it, understanding that we have a really good opponent that we're facing, understanding they got a lot of weapons offensively and stuff, but embracing that as a challenge, embracing that as, you know, you're getting an opportunity to show that you're one of the best against the best, you know, so. You know, we're just grateful to be in that situation where we can showcase what we can do. And ultimately, we're excited for a great outing on Saturday.
This is a Texas A&M team that likes to throw the football. How do you, in particular, what is your game plan on trying to be effective to put pressure on the quarterback and maybe have to drop back if so? And so, what's your personal game plan on how you can affect this football game with Texas A&M that likes to throw it around?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me personally, I just want to go out there and play the way I've been playing with a lot of effort, playing with a lot of intensity. Playing cerebral, you know, just thinking about situations before they occur, handling and adjusting to everything that they do offensively. And, you know, when I'm in one-on-one situations, I think I just got to win those situations and you know, do it with physicality, do it with intensity, and do it the way I know how to do it. So I think that's the biggest thing for me personally, just being real strategic in how I approach the game and, you know, being out there and playing relentlessly. I think that's the biggest thing, and that's my personal goal for the game.
So far this season, I'm really curious about this, Eugene. So far this season, what is the communication like on the sideline between the defense and the offense, where we know obviously the offense sort of struggled there against California, but then they really rebounded against Samford, and when you guys are forcing turnovers, I mean, what's the communication like, whether it be in the locker room or between quarters, just between the defense and the offense to be supporting each other so far?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, we told them against Cal, we have them, we support them. So the biggest thing was just telling them and reassuring them that we got their back through anything. And, you know, some people, if they're in a situation where the ball's turned over multiple times, you know, they'll start to get frustrated. I've seen it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Not this season, but I'll say last season, you know, guys got frustrated and, you know, would be chirping on the sidelines. But I think the biggest thing was just letting them and reassuring them that we got your back. We're going to support you through anything. You know, we're going to go out there and try to get a stop for y'all. So I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, that's something I actually continuously try to tell Coach Freeze during the Cal game. You know, every opportunity I saw, I was like, Coach, we got you. Don't worry. We got you. You know, so that was a big thing. And that's going to continue to be our mantra. That's going to continue to be our motto when we're in there, you know, just trying to, you know, regardless of what happens in the game, we're going to play each play independent of the one before and after, you know. So just that's the biggest thing, and going out there and basically just, you know, not harping on what happened before.
And what's important there too, man, is the fact that not only are you saying, hey, we got you, we got your back, we're going to back you up, you guys have actually backed it up on the field so far with the defense, and you guys have been playing just lockdown defense so far through the first three games. Auburn on the road at Texas A&M this Saturday for the SEC opener. Eugene, what would it mean for Auburn and you and this team to get their fourth win of the season, start 4-0 before Georgia next week?
It'd mean a big thing. I mean, it'll mean a lot to us, just getting this win. I know how much the guys have sacrificed in terms of their preparation, have sacrificed in terms of, you know, the summer workouts and the program that we had in the summer. So I think it would mean a lot to everybody that we go out there and execute the way that the coaches intend for us to execute. And I think it would just mean a lot to the Auburn family, you know, just to show them that we, you know, we want to put our best foot forward, and every game we play, we want to play and we want to go get a victory for them. So I think it's just a big thing, big opportunity, and we're just excited for that opportunity on Saturday.
Well, man, I got to ask one more before we let you go. You have coined and really just made the phrase, let's work. I got to ask, how many guys are yelling that at practice nowadays? Because it seems like it's something that's fun and it's easy to say and it gets you hyped up. How many guys are saying that now at practice?
Oh, it's a lot of people. You know, it's really grown to a global phenomenon around Auburn. I can't lie to you. It's really grown. And people that I never thought knew the saying or the phrase, they see me and they're like, man, let's work. And when I'm going to class, when I'm walking through the facility, when I'm just out, you know, just people are saying it to me now. So it's grown, and it's kind of been our thing. So I enjoy it. I enjoy when people come up to me and say it. It really just brings a smile to my face. But that's really been the mantra. That's really been the thing we've been emphasizing.
That's awesome, man. Well, look, everybody is a huge fan of yours. We're excited to have you here for Tiger Takes on ESPN 106.7 each and every week. We'll now be joined by Auburn linebacker Eugene Asante here on ESPN 106.7.
Tiger Takes proudly presented by the Osterbrook Law Group on the web at alsolaw.com. Thanks to the Osterbrook Law Group for their support of Tiger Takes here on The Drive. We'll get to our final break. Back to wrap things up. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Attention large property owners and adventure seekers.